Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
In a watch night service, December 31st, 1900, the students waited on the Lord in prayer. A little past midnight, 1901, Agnes Osman was the first to be baptized in the Spirit and speak with other tongues. The disciples in the Jerusalem outpouring spilled out of the upper room into the streets of Jerusalem. The participants at Topeka spilled out of Kansas with news of their blessing. Some stopped off at the Tulsa area, and my great-grandparents were a part of the Holy Ghost revival there. Parham took his Bible school to Houston. There, a spiritual black man, William J. Seymour, accepted what Parham taught. Seymour believed, but had not received, the experience himself when he was invited to preach at a holiness church at Los Angeles. After he preached on the baptism in the Holy Ghost and that tongues was the initial evidence, the pastor shut down the meeting and padlocked the door. The tiny congregation accepted the message, however, and Richard and Ruth Asbury invited Seymour and the others to hold prayer meetings in their home at 216 Bonnie Bray Street. Thomas R. Nickel tells it like this in his book, Azusa Street Outpouring, as told to me by those who were there. Some nights later, on April 6, 1906, Brother Seymour and seven others were seated in the living room in a spirit of prayer and waiting upon the Lord. Suddenly, as by a bolt of lightning from heaven, they were all knocked from their chairs to the floor, and many began speaking with other tongues. Little Willia Asbury rushed from the kitchen to see what was happening in the living room. Young Bud Traynor was on the front porch prophesying and preaching. Jenny Moore stood up and prophesied in what the others declared was Hebrew. Then she went to the piano and for the first time in her life began playing beautiful music and singing a beautiful language with a beautiful voice. These gifts she never lost. The news spread like wildfire. White people joined the colored people, overflowing the house. The front porch became the pulpit, and the street became the pews. An old deserted two-story building was located at 312 Azusa Street, a dead-end street, only about a half block long. The great earthquake struck San Francisco and surrounding countryside on April 18. The quake and the disastrous fires that followed took several thousand lives. On the 19th, a lesser shock struck Los Angeles. Many began to seek closer relationship with God. Ruth Asbury and Jenny Moore went to Peniel Hall. Jenny spoke in tongues, and Ruth exclaimed, quote, "This is that prophesied by Joel," unquote. The crowd followed them to Azusa Street, and the great rush was on. Tent meetings, missions and churches were so emptied that some closed and joined the movement. The upstairs was the tearing room, but many received their baptism just sitting in the lower services. Joseph Seymour had become a sort of moderator, and he was a marvelous teacher of the deep things of God, though usually he sat with his head bowed inside the shoebox pulpit, while God carried on the meeting. Only the anointed would preach. As many as 9 services were held in one day. The meetings continued day and night around the clock. People would come in and kneel and pray, then sit with eyes closed and quietly wait for God to work. 2 favorite songs were Under the Blood and The Comforter Is Come. Singing in the Spirit, likened to some perfect heavenly choir, struck awe to all newcomers. Prophecies, messages, and interpretations were given with convincing power, as though the Lord Himself were speaking directly. Conversions, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, miraculous healings, and casting out demons became regular procedures. The power could be felt even 5 blocks away. The power resounded around the world. In 1906, Thomas B. Barrett, a well-known Methodist minister in Oslo, Norway, came to the U.S. for other reasons, but was drawn by the power to Azusa Street, where he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He took the message to Norway and became a leader in the establishment of Pentecostal fellowships throughout Europe and the Third World. English by birth, Barrett visited Alexander Body's Anglican Church in Sunderland, England, in September 1907, when the fire fell, as they described it. Several experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Sunderland became the Azusa of England and Europe. In my research, a statement I found in a little book by Donald G. led me to a treasure trove of information on the latter rain outpouring and the place the blood held in its manifested power. G., a well-respected early Pentecostal pastor, teacher, and author, said that the one who chronicled the outpouring best was Alexander Body. He said that the well-educated Body did this through his monthly publication, Confidence, 1908 through 1926. Chapter 23, The Blood and the Latter Rain Outpouring. The copies of Confidence I obtained opened a wonderful window for me to watch the outpouring at the turn of the century. Its long issues reported in such detail, I felt like a close observer at their meetings. I saw plainly the place of the blood in the outpouring and in their lives. Body wrote in the first issue, April 1908, quote, "What hath God wrought? A year ago, the writer only knew of some 5 or 6 persons in Great Britain who were in the experience. At the time of printing this, there are probably more than 500, unquote. The article was entitled, His Own Blood. Body opened with this statement, "We praise our God that He is teaching us in these days the wonderful depth, efficacy, and the power of the blood. This wonderful plan of redemption, which only a God could have conceived and only a God could have carried out, goes to the root of the matter," unquote. 2 ladies, who were the first to receive at Sunderland, wrote their testimony for the first issue. "God directed us to come to Sunderland and wait here with His children for our Pentecost, with signs following. He heard us, and on the night of Sunday, September 1st, 1907, He came suddenly, as He had promised, and filled these temples with His glory, simultaneously speaking through us in new tongues, filling us to the overflow with the joy of His presence. We entered in through the precious blood, the only way of perfect cleansing." Written 7 months since their baptism. Pentecost has meant for us the victory of Jesus in the daily life, victory against the fiercest onslaughts of Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Margaret E. Howell, Mabel C. Scott. The format of Confidence included many reports from across England and around the world. The first issue included a report from Boland Street Mission in Bradford, England. Its writer would become a regular contributor, as well as one of the most powerful ministers the church has ever known. His name? Smith Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth received his baptism in the Holy Spirit at Sutherland. Again, you can see the place of the blood in those days in his own account in his biography, The Apostle of Faith. Smith writes, "For 4 days I wanted nothing but God. But after that I felt I should leave for my home, and I went to the Episcopal Vicarage to say goodbye. I said to Mrs. Boddy, the vicar's wife, 'I'm going away, but I have not received the tongues yet.' She answered, 'It is not the tongues you need, but the baptism.' 'I have received the baptism, sister,' I protested, 'but I would like to have you lay hands on me before I leave.' She laid her hands on me and then had to go out of the room. The fire fell. It was a wonderful time as I was there with God alone. He bathed me in power. I was conscious of the cleansing of the precious blood, and I cried out, 'Clean, clean, clean.' I was filled with the joy of the consciousness of the cleansing. I was given a vision in which I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I beheld the empty cross, and I saw him exalted at the right hand of God the Father. I could speak no longer in English, but I began to praise him in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me utterance. I knew then, although I might have received anointings previously, that now, at last, I had received the real baptism in the Holy Spirit as they received on the day of Pentecost." Wigglesworth closed his report from Bradford in the first issue of Confidence with a poem. It may have come with his vision. Certainly it was a psalm from his spirit so recently filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. "My soul is filled with boundless love, whilst gazing on the precious blood. I catch the rays of Jesus' face, transfixed in me the throne of grace."
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our authority conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming Authority Conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.